Amen. Acts chapter 28. If you're there, you can stand with me and let's honor God's word. And these precious folks drove from Panama City today. We thank God for y'all. We love y'all. So glad you would trust us this morning. And folks from Alabama, amen. Slocum, Hartford, and Sister Kimberly that we baptized this morning. Just received a message from her. I love this, you know. She said, thank you so much. That was very unexpected and powerful. The Holy Ghost just wrecked her in the water this morning. We will not be in service Wednesday due to being on vacation. We love our church and mostly Jesus. Isn't that precious that somebody would just tell you, hey, I'm not going to be there Wednesday. A lot of people could care less. Amen. But when church matters to somebody and when you matter, they think it's worth honoring and say, listen, I won't be there. Won't be on vacation. Amen. I think they can go on vacation after being moved like that. Amen. Acts 28. I didn't have a title this morning, but I think after this morning I'll call it Bitten, Turn to Boldness. Amen. We'll read here about 10 verses. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast, somebody say, hang. It did more than bite him. It hung there. It hung on his hand. Amen. It meant business. Can I tell you, that's what the devil does. He hangs around. Amen. He hangs around in your thoughts, hangs around in your homes, hangs around in your churches. He just kind of hangs around, don't he? Amen. I got news for him. We can shake the snake. Amen. You can get rid of him. Amen. He hanged on his hand. They said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly after they had looked a great while. Somebody said they looked a great while. Somebody's watching how you live. Somebody's watching how you respond to the bite of the enemy. Somebody's watching. They're watching, they're waiting, they're wondering. They looked a great while and they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Back up with me, if you will, to one verse, Acts 37, verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. What land did they escape to? 28 verse 1 says, they came to an island called Melita. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your gospel. Lord, what a day, Pentecost Sunday. Lord, to be able to declare your word to a people, God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to honor the preaching of your word today. We ask you today, God, that you would minister to hearts. I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire today, Lord, in this house, Lord. With unbelievers, God, draw them to you, to salvation. To the believer, God, baptize us fresh and new with love and grace and power from on high. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I read this last night, and I want to declare this, say this. I am under the opinion that one of the most dangerous places to be on a Sunday morning is a Pentecostal church in name only that tells its people that is all the Holy Ghost has. Amen. You know, there's a lot of signs, a lot of churches that you pass by that are Pentecostal by name, but there's no demonstration on the inside of the church. Amen. I put on our flyer, had Sister Ariana put, in true Pentecost, there is no imitation, there is no limitation, and there is no imagination, but there is a great demonstration of the working of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that there are people that try to imitate the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of Pentecost. But can I tell you that that you try to imitate will never make it in the days that we're living in right now. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to drink a Coke, I don't want Sam's choice. Amen. I want the real thing. Amen. And let me tell you, that world is trying to offer a Holy Ghost, amen, that's been cut down, sliced down, cut up, divided it up. But let me tell you this morning, church, that's not going to make it in the days and the times that we're living in. Amen. Now, not everybody is for the real thing. Amen. I'm convinced that if the Holy Ghost swept in this church or any others the way that he truly desired to, that most people that were there would call it a devil and a demon, and they would run out and talk about it. But can I tell you that just because you can't control it or contain it, don't make it right. Don't make it wrong, and don't think that it's not the real thing. Amen. I've come to find in a short amount of time in my life since I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that has been the greatest point of division with me and other people. And I'm not talking about the lost. I'm talking about the found. It's been the greatest contingent of division in my life. It's what separated many people from this church. Because that's what the Holy Ghost will always do. It'll bring separation. Amen. Listen to this quote I want to share with you. I owe everything to the gift of Pentecost. For 50 days, the facts of the gospel were complete, but no conversions were recorded. Pentecost registered 3,000 souls. It is by fire that a holy passion is kindled in the soul whereby we live the life of God. The soul's safety is in its heat. Truth without enthusiasm, morality without emotion, ritual without soul, make for a church without power. Amen. I can tell you this morning, church, I don't want to be a part of a church without power. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, well, Jesus, he never ran, he never shouted, he never done all them things, he never kicked around. Well, let me tell you, I come to find out, he might not have, but everybody that he touched did. Amen. I know people that he touched, they begin to move with the things of God. I've been touched by Jesus. Amen. So I may do things a little bit differently, but you wasn't there the day that venomous snake bit me. Amen. You wasn't there the day that I had to shake the snake off of me. You wasn't there whenever that blood began to wash the venom out of my life. You wasn't there. Amen. You wasn't there when I was underneath that pickup truck. And just because you weren't there, don't make what I got. Don't make it. Don't. I'm telling you, it is the real thing. Amen. I wasn't there whenever Jesus found you either. So I may not understand your walk. I may not understand your sacrifice. But let me tell you, some things and some people you got to lay behind, because not everybody's going to understand the way you worship. Hallelujah. There's power in Pentecost. I say today, happy birthday to the church. Amen. Happy birthday to the church, because today is the day that the church was born. Amen. Can I tell you, when Paul and his men showed up to the island of Melita, can I tell you, don't you know that they were a mess? You know, Paul had been talked about, he had been persecuted on that ship. All of a sudden, they began to be beat up. Can I tell you, they began to come and they showed up to the shore of the island of Melita, on broken pieces of the boat. I mean, they just barely made it. They just barely made it. But the first thing I want to tell you this morning is you can't get to Pentecost without coming through the cross. If you're going to experience Pentecost, then you have to start at the foot of the cross. Amen. It all starts at the foot of the cross. Amen. And it's time that you and I would begin to cling to that old rugged cross. I don't know how Paul made it, but I know the Bible said some of them showed up on broken pieces, amen, of that wood. Amen. Can I tell you that is a picture of the old rugged cross? Amen. And you can't experience Pentecost without the cost of the cross. Amen. It starts at the cross. If you're here today and you've not been washed in the blood, then you need to find a place in this altar this morning, and you need to get a hold of that cross, and you don't need to let it go. Amen. Get a hold of that cross, because there that blood will begin to wash you whiter than snow. That sin that you brought in, it will be there no longer, because my Jesus was hung on a cross over 2,000 years ago, but on the third day he rose from the dead, and 50 days later the Holy Ghost came down and that church came out different than the way that it went in. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has not stopped. There's still people being born into this kingdom. We're to be born up, filled with, and led by this Holy Ghost. Are you with me this morning, church? I said there is power of Pentecost. Hallelujah. They were a barbarous people. These barbarous people, if you look that up, it means they were harsh, they were rough, and their speech was rude. Well, that sounds like the place I want to show up to. To a people, boy, I've been through enough. I don't want to show up to somebody that's going to be mean to me. Amen. I don't want to show up and you be rude to me. Well, thank God these weren't those people. Amen. They were of that nature, but this wasn't who they were. The first thing they did was show kindness to them. Amen. They began to befriend them. But can I tell you, here's what the barbarous people here means. One who speaks a foreign language, which is not understood by another. Can I tell you, there's a world that speaks a language. Amen. And there's a church that speaks a language that is foreign to the world. But can I tell you that somebody needs to build a fire? Somebody needs to build a fire. Amen. There's preparation of Pentecost. I said there's preparation of Pentecost. You have to come through the cross to get to Pentecost. Amen. You can't just start in an upper room, although a lot of us want to, but you can't just start in an upper room. It starts at the foot of the cross for every one of us. Amen. I don't know how you showed up to the island of Melita, but I know how I showed up. Amen. Barely making it. Amen. I said barely hanging on. Amen. I've been through a storm that you can't even imagine. Amen. You ever just been beat up by life? Amen. Life just gets hard sometimes. Amen. You just fight things in life. Amen. And I'm just barely holding on. I mean, I just got a hold of a board. Sometimes you just barely show up the next morning. Amen. You just show up to church. I'm just barely hanging on to the cross. But thank God I still got the cross. Amen. They held on to that cross and it took them right where they needed to be. Amen. Because Paul had a vision. He said, I'm going to preach in Rome. Amen. It don't matter how you get there, but I'm going to get there one way or another. Are you hearing me this morning? He may show up broken and tattered and bruised, but I came to tell somebody, it don't matter how you get there, as long as we get there. Amen. Your boat may be falling apart, but the Bible said, don't you dare leave this boat. Don't you bail out now. Don't you take the little dinghy that's hanging off the back. Don't you get in that little boat and try to get out of here. You better cut that thing off, or else it's going to be a temptation to you when that storm begins to come. He said, if you leave this boat, you're not going to make it. Only those that stayed in that boat were able to make it. How did they make it? By the broken pieces of the boat. That old rugged cross is always faithful to help us, to keep us, amen, to show us and to lead us right where we need to go. You ever get off track of that cross, amen, things are going to be messed up. You in a church where they don't preach the cross and the blood and the power of Pentecost, I'd find another church. I said, I'd find another church. Amen. We better stay with the cross. We better stay with the blood. And we better stay that he rose on the third day and that he still sends the power and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Are you with me this morning? I said, there's preparation before we get to Pentecost. What is that preparation? It is the cross. Amen. You got to come through the cross in order to get to Pentecost. Amen. And I believe that we're here this morning. I believe that we've already experienced the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I need to tell somebody this morning, the reason a lot of people don't want to build a fire and really be in a full gospel Pentecostal church is because anytime you begin to build a fire, it reveals three things. It reveals the viper, it reveals the venom, and it will reveal the victory. But the first thing that's going to come out of a true Pentecostal Holy Ghost fire is that venomous snake. That viper is going to be revealed. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Amen. This is going to be wood. All right. The Bible said Paul went and gathered a bundle of sticks. So he's carrying this. How do you get wood to build a fire? You just kind of hang it. That ain't how you do it, is it? You don't just go get one stick at a time. The Bible said he went and got a bundle of sticks. And so he came back with a bundle of sticks. Amen. And so don't you know that snake was in there somewhere? That viper was already in that bundle of sticks, but he wasn't bothered by nothing. Old Paul. Amen. Old Paul. He wasn't bothered by a thing. Amen. He just went and gathered up sticks, and he's carrying around the bundle of sticks. I can tell you a lot of people carry wood to church all the time, but they never start a fire. I said they never start a fire. Amen. Why don't they start a fire? Because 58 years ago they got bit. They got bit and they're still carrying the venom of the last bite from 58 years ago around in their body. And so they just want to be a part of the church. They just want to sit on the pew and say that they're a member of the church. And they just want to carry sticks, but they've been carrying the same bundle for 58 years. Well, I bring my bundle of sticks to church and then I take it back home with me. This is how a lot of people do walk with God. Why? Because the fire reveals the viper. The fire reveals the viper. I need to know who brought their lighter to church this morning. Nobody's hands went up. I thought I had y'all. Amen. Just kidding. I told that first service, this is GFCC. You got to watch out around here. I was seeing who was going to say, I got one. You see, here's what happens. A lot of people can gather sticks, but the fire causes that venom to come out. The Bible said that the viper came out of the heat. Whew. Can I tell you, every time you start a fire, it's going to reveal that viper. Amen. It's going to reveal a viper. So you can bring wood all day long and you can build and you can put your bundle of sticks all day long. But the moment that you strike a match, the moment you put that lighter to that bundle of sticks, you better know. I said, if there's a fire built in a house of God, if there's a fire built in the altar of God, you better know that snake's about to be revealed. Amen. I'm telling you, every time you build a fire, anybody ever started something with God, move forward in ministry and begin to build a fire, and all of a sudden, boom. Anybody raise your hand? Come on now, I need some help this morning. Y'all don't go to sleep on me. My God, I'll trade places with you. I done preached this message one time this morning. Amen. Trying to get through it this one. Woo.
I feel my help, though.
Amen. I said, I feel my help this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So many times people get bit by the viper. You say, well, I want to be a part of that. I got to have more of God. And so you begin to build a fire, and all of a sudden, that viper ain't playing around with you. He didn't just, let me see. Let me just see if I can nibble on Lewis today. No, that ain't what he did. No, that viper said, I'm getting them fangs. I ain't going nowhere. Can I tell you that's what the devil does? Can I tell you Pentecostal fire always reveals the viper? The first thing that it's going to reveal, the heat of Pentecost, is going to reveal the viper and the bite of the viper. Amen. It's going to come out. It is going to produce the venomous snake. Amen. Every time, I don't know of a church, I'm just being honest with you, I don't know of a people, I don't know of a church other than GFCC that's been bit as many times as some of you. But I can tell you this, I've seen a lot of people come and go. Because every time they made declarations to move forward with God. Every time they made declarations to move forward with God. I wish I had my gold shovel. I got a gold shovel from 4 years ago when we dug the first piece of dirt next door where that church is. How sad in my heart is that people signed that and said, I'm going to be here to see it finished. I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that sign their name to declare, I'm going to be here to see it finished. But God began to stir a fire and things begin to heat up. And the moment that the heat came, oh, that viper came out. That viper came out of the heat and latched on. That viper will always come out. So you know what people do? I'd rather just carry their bundle of sticks around and never start a fire. And we call ourselves good churchgoers, and you are. You're the most faithful people, but when are you going to start a fire? When are we going to start a fire? Because we're all fire starters. We're all fire starters, but we know the moment that I say yes to the call of God and I know things begin to heat up, the first thing that's going to come out is that viper. You're going to be bit. You will be bit when you begin to build a fire. And I've seen so many people get so discouraged. We'd all love to quit every time we got bit by the viper. I want to quit 1,000 times before I got to this pulpit this morning because of the sting of the viper. I can tell you his teeth hurt, and he's not playing games whenever he bites. I'm telling you, he's not playing games. Amen. But something about God, he won't let you stop. He won't let you quit. Something about God gives you the authority and the power to rise above the bite of the venom of the snake. Amen. Let me tell you, there's something about God. I said there's a preparation of Pentecost, and you better know in the preparation of Pentecost that when you start a fire, the viper will come out. You take one step forward with God, I dare you, you'll see a viper. Take another step with God, I dare you, another viper is going to come out. Something about that fire, there's vipers all in it. One's got a bigger head than the last one. You know it? Well, that last one hurt. What about this one? Preparation. The fire reveals the viper. The second thing the fire reveals is the venom. The second thing the fire reveals is the venom. Can I tell you, Pentecostal fire, why? I'd just go to church too where nobody knows anything about me, where the gifts don't operate, where the prophet's not in the house. Because the prophet knows the secret things of a man's heart. Let me just play church. Oh, yeah, let me go there. You better believe it. But one day we're going to stand before Jesus. And if there's things that are in my heart that I've kept in secret that nobody knows about, but I know about them and God knows about them, and I know surely if I don't get those things right, I'm headed to hell. But we'll fight Pentecost. We'll fight the fire of God because that venom comes out. You see, the venomous snake is revealed, and then the venom is revealed. Now bear with me just a minute, because the venom never got in Paul. The venom wasn't in him. The venom was in them. Are you hearing me? Come on now, somebody. Don't let me lose you right here. Listen to this. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, what's on him? A snake. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. No doubt. They done said in their mind what he is.
He got what he deserved. You see, on that island, they believed in something. I'm just going to call it modern day karma. That's what they believed in that island. They had a man, a woman there or a man there. And if you showed up to their island and you'd been a prisoner like he was, well, you just got what you deserved. Amen. It's an ungodly reaping and sowing karma. All right. That's basically what they thought. So now these barbarous people's looking at Paul and they say, well, he got what he deserved. He's about to die. See, they already said no doubt what this man is. He's a murderer. What they didn't know, there's power in Pentecost. Yeah, they just didn't know there's power of Pentecost. Amen. All they saw was the preparation of Pentecost. You see, the fire will always reveal the viper, and the fire will always reveal the venom. But the venom wasn't in the man that got bit. The venom was in them. Can I tell you, the fire of Pentecost will reveal your venom that's in you, your division that's in you, your sorrow that's in you, your depression that's in you, your addiction that's in you, your doubt that's in you. I said the Holy Ghost fire not only reveals the viper, but it will reveal your venom. You see, immediately they begin to talk about Paul, the very man that was bit, that had no venom in him. But now they're going to name him and label him a murderer. They had venom in them. The problem in the church isn't those that have been bitten. No. It's the people that think they know better. No doubt. Their mind was made up. This guy's a murderer. You see, the problem isn't the devil. The problem isn't the viper. The viper couldn't do anything to the man of God. The venom in him wasn't the problem. The venom in them was the problem. Because now they're just now, I said, no imitation, no limitation, and no imagination. You see, fear will cause your imagination to run crazy. You see, their imagination was, he's a murderer. But whenever the Holy Ghost is real, can I tell you what? We're going to move to the next level. And there's power of Pentecost. Amen? Because the fire not only reveals the viper, the fire not only reveals the venom, but the fire also reveals the victory. Can I tell you that the Bible says about Peter, the disciple or the apostle, can I tell you there was a viper that was revealed in him by fire? Oh, yeah. What did old Peter say? I'll follow you, Jesus, to the end. I'll go to jail with you. I'll die with you. Everything. Jesus said, no. Hold on a minute. I know what I said to you, but let me tell you what's really in you. Let me show you that viper that's on the inside of you, of pride. Oh, yeah.
Anybody got a viper of pride on the inside of them?
You see, but that thing wasn't revealed until Peter got by the fire. Oh, yeah. See, Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, I'm not. No. Oh, yeah, you will. Wait till you get by the fire, because that fire is fixing to reveal what's on the inside of you, Peter. You see, there's fixing to be a viper that bites you. You think that you won't because you think you're better of yourself than what you really are. He said, but I'm fixing to allow you to warm by the fire. And they begin to say by that fire, do you know that Jesus? No, I don't know that Jesus. You see, there was a viper on the inside of Peter that he didn't know was there. Can I tell you, a lot of us have vipers on the inside of us that we don't even know that's there. And that's the reason we won't come to an altar. That's the reason we won't see you in a Pentecostal church. That's the reason we won't fan into flame the fire that is within us. Because when we begin to fan into flame the fire of Pentecost in our lives, the viper not only in them, but the viper that's in me will begin to be revealed. You see, there was a viper on the inside of Peter, a pride. He told Jesus, I'll die with you. I'll go to prison with you. But the moment that he warmed up by the fire, that viper came out and it bit old Peter. Can I tell you, it bit him. And that venom was in him. But can I tell you, in John chapter 21, Jesus showed up to the seashore, and there's power of Pentecost. There's power in the fire. Not only is the viper revealed, not only is the venom revealed, but there's also victory. It's revealed by the fire. What did Jesus do after the third fire? Jesus built a fire. And can I tell you, about that fire, it was victory. Can I tell somebody this morning, there's a fire bill at GFCC. You'll see the venom. You'll see the viper, but you'll also experience the victory. Hallelujah. Peter experienced the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel my help. Preparation to Pentecost. The fire reveals the viper, the venom, and the victory.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? You see, there's power in Pentecost. Can you say amen to that? Here's what I love. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat. Didn't say he came out of the sticks, he came out of the fire. That heat will always produce a viper every time. You better believe it. So how did the church down the road, man, they don't ever fight a devil. Where's the heat at? Woo, it's cold there. People's coming, it's raining outside, a storm, brother. Been through the storm of their life, broken and beat and tattered. It's cold, it's raining. I tell you what, the thing I want to find is a fire. Fire sounds good, don't it? See, a fire always sounds good to somebody that's cold when it's raining. But it don't sound so good whenever I get warm and the snake bites me. Well, I thank God I tried that church. Whoop. I don't need them no more. See you later. Isn't that what we do? I'm no longer cold. It's no longer raining. The sun started shining now. Hey, man, I don't need that fire now. No, no, no. That bite of that venom hurt too bad. The bite of the viper. There's power of Pentecost. How many of you still believe there's power in Pentecost? Amen. Can I tell you? How do you know there's power in Pentecost, Pastor? Because I know how that devil works. And just like he hanged on Paul's arm, can I tell you that devil likes to hang around a lot of places that he don't belong. Amen. I just have to believe in my heart of hearts. Amen. That I believe that the hand, amen, that venomous snake jumped out on and latched on had to be the right hand. Amen. You see, if you read in the book of Luke, you see the man with a withered hand. Only the book of Luke records that it was his right hand. Why was it his right hand? Because the right hand is a hand of honor. The right hand is a hand of fellowship. And the right hand is a hand of authority. Can I tell you, it is a righteous right hand. Amen. When you stick out your hand, you shake right hands. Amen. That it also stands for ministry. And can I tell you that there is power in Pentecostal? Amen. I believe that viper blatched out and grabbed a hold of Paul's right hand, trying to take away his authority, trying to take away his honor, trying to destroy his name. Oh, but there's power in Pentecost. Amen. Mark chapter 16 says, we shall take up serpents with what? With our hands. Amen. We shall be able to drink any deadly thing. You see, the moment the viper got a hold of Paul, he said he didn't even pay it any attention. He just said, I don't know who you think you are, devil, but you ain't a match for me. Amen. There's Pentecostal power running through my veins. The blood of Jesus, my God. The blood of Jesus running through my veins. I see you, devil. Now get out of here.
Get off me. You think you are. Try to get a hold of me like that.
Just shake him off. You know what Paul never said? Why didn't you go get the sticks? Why did I have to get the sticks? I was cold. I was wet. Why didn't you do anything? You could have got bit, not me. We're always all right if somebody else gets bit as long as I don't get bit, right? Do you know what? He never even said, what is this? He never even paid it any attention. You know what the Bible said? He just shook the snake. He just shook the snake. Can I tell you that there is power in Pentecost? Amen? I said there is power in Pentecost. Verse 5 says, and he shook off the beast. Where did he shake it off? Into the fire, and he felt no harm. Can I tell you the only place for that viper to go back to is to the very place that it came out of? Amen. Now we're going to turn from Pentecostal fire to tell the devil to go back to a devil's hell where there's fire for eternity. Amen. Some of us need to quit giving the devil any say so and just begin to say, get off me, devil. I'm going to go through the I feel you, devil, but get off of me. Some of you just need to take your right hand right now and you just
just need to start declaring, and you need to start shaking some things out of your life. You see, the devil's always trying to hang around somebody and somewhere, but you just need to say, get off me today, devil. I ain't got time for you. Get out of my mind. Get out of my home. Get out of my church. Get out of my car. Get out of my family. Get out of my children. Come on, somebody. Just begin to shake the snake right off of your hand and tell the devil he ain't got no place. Shake him off. Just shake him off. Just shake him off. Get out. Got time for you today, Satan. Just like that. If you got to, just. That's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? Bite after bite after bite after bite. Amen. I'll have to buy a new box of Kleenex. Just shake them off. Because sometimes 1,000 devils will bite you. In about 1 minute. You get rid of one, another one comes. Because that's what he does. He hanged on his hand. You ever just known how the devil just hangs around? And he hangs around the fire. He hangs around the fire. He hangs around Pentecost. Because he can't stand it. If there's one thing that devil's going to fight, you better know it's the way the church came in, that it'll go out. Boy, if I was a devil, I'd try to stop Pentecost too. Amen. Amen. I'd hang around the fire too. I'd hang around the fire too and try to get somebody down and out, discouraged. Wouldn't you? Amen. You know what else I'd do? I believe if I was a devil, I'd probably bite his right hand too. I said, I believe I would probably bite his right hand too. Because in Acts chapter 8, I wonder what hand held the coats of the people as they killed Stephen. Who did that? Who held the coats as they stoned Stephen? Saul of Tarsus, right? The Bible said that Saul of Tarsus held the coats as they stoned Stephen. Well, Hattie, I try to bite them hands too because they're no longer bound. They're not holding the coats of murderers. I said they're not holding the coats of murderers. Now they're laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. The same hand that held the coats of a murderer as they sat there and stoned Stephen to death has now flowed with Pentecostal power. If I was a devil, I'd probably bite his hands too. I'm just going to tell you, if I was a devil, I'd probably come after some of your children too, because I'm about to prophesy for here just a minute. Amen. I got children right now that I know the devil's bitten. Amen. I know there's a viper that's out of them, but I believe it's coming out of the fire of Pentecost. Amen. Sister Sheila, I'm telling you, if I was a devil, I'd come at Spencer too, because there's going to come a day, sister, that he's going to be right with God. Him and Claire is going to be you for the glory of God. If I was a devil, I'd bite Dalen too. If I was a devil, I'd try to bite Brennan too. If I was a devil, I'd bite Chase too. If I was a devil, I'd bite Tyson too. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because I know what's in these kids. I know what's in this church. And if I was a devil, I'd be biting you too, because it wasn't. Because that devil knows the outcome.
Don't you know the devil knew it's coming today?
He's holding Stephen. He's holding them jackets right now for them murders. Oh, but now what's the devil trying to do? Get him back there. If I can only get Paul back there, if I can just get Paul to change his name to Saul again, I got him. I'm telling you, there's no imitation in this man. Check this out, Acts 19. I love this. Y'all get this. The first service didn't get this. Acts 19. Check this out. Verse 6. Oh, my God. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, I'd be after them hands too. I'd be after their hands too. Some of our children are going to lay hands on the sick. So if I was a viper, I'd be biting them too. Amen. I'd be after you too, Rosie. If I was a viper, I'd be after your life. I'd be after your mind. And I would come at you through boys that's going to give you attention. If I was the devil, yeah, that's what it does. Yeah, through them phones. That's what I'd do. Temptation, that devil knows. Amen. You see, the same hands that held the coats of murderers is now laying hands on people and they're experiencing Pentecostal power. If I was a viper, I'd be after them hands too. I'm just saying this morning, I'd be after their life too, Sheila. I'd be after Dalen and Spencer too. I'd be after all of our children too. Amen. I'd be after Brennan too. I'd be after them. Jonathan, Bubba, I'd be after y'all too. Ashley? Yeah. I'd be after him too if I was the devil. But when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Boy, if I was the devil, I'd stop that too. I'd bite those hands. Yeah. Because I don't want nobody being filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesying, for sure. But if I can bite his hands, he'll go back to holding them coats of murderers. If I can just get his hands to go back to doing that. Whew, my God. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by what? The hands. If I was a viper, I'd probably bite that hand too. And I'd probably hang around a little while if I was him too. Because if I hang around a little while, I can probably make these hands very weary. Yeah. And they won't want to lay hands on anybody else. Yeah. Wow. Good. If I was a viper, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to stop some people that the devil has stopped? But we know the rest of the story. Check this out. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. I don't know how else you get a handkerchief or an apron out of your back pocket, but unless that hand touches it. Oh. Whew. Whose handkerchiefs were given to people? That's where the famous prayer cloth comes from. That's where the famous prayer cloth comes from. You got a prayer cloth today, Pastor? Can you anoint it with oil? Can I tell you whose hands was on that original apron and whose hands were on that original handkerchief or prayer cloth? Can I tell you it was Paul's? If I was a viper, I'd try to stop his hands from reaching in and grabbing a handkerchief too. Are you hearing me? I'm not building Paul up. I'm building the power of Pentecost up that's in Paul. Because the moment of conversion in Paul's life, amen, he was a heathen. But a light came down from heaven, got a hold of him. He was saved, gave his life to the Lord, was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost all at one moment. So why am I talking about Pentecostal power? Because it flows in his veins. Paul's nobody special. We'll get there in just a minute. I'm trying to hurry. Listen to this. The certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? There is no imitation to Pentecost. I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Can I tell you that if they'd have showed up to the island of Melita without the real thing, with an imitated thing, can I tell you them barbarous people would have never known who Jesus was? Can I tell you, church, if you fake it till you make it, you're not going to make it. You're just not. You can't fake it till you make it. Amen? There's power in Pentecost. Now check this out. Back in Acts chapter 28, I love this.
Howbeit they looked when they should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. You know, so many times we swing from this side of the pendulum to this side of the pendulum. They went from calling him a murderer to now he's a god. And can I tell you this morning, if you have your pastor, if you have your TV evangelist, if you have missionaries up on a pedestal and you call them a god, then surely you will be let down one day. Your heart will be crushed and you may get so broken and hurt that you're never even able to finish the race with the one true God. I can tell you, I've seen people in pulpits get elevated to a point where they said, well, he was a murderer one time, but now he's a god. We make a lot of people in pulpits, Brother Trevor, our god. Everything they do has to be God. No, that's not always right. You should honor people in pulpits. You should honor missionaries. We should honor people on TV. But the moment we make them a god, you got to remember it's a little g god, and you set yourself up to fail forever. He was just a murderer. Now he's a god. You know, we set ourselves up. I've known people, great, great people of God. I'm not taking anything away. But I've known people that sat under them, and they've made people in pulpits gods. The moment they didn't get a phone call back from that god, guess what?
They're crushed.
I ain't going back to church. You didn't even go to their church anyway. But now you let a man determine your whole outcome of life? You let a man? You should honor people of God. But I learned when I first got out, I didn't know anything about Pentecost. What I'm telling y'all this morning, this is my life. Can I just say just a few things? Brother Buck, Regina, Mike was here this morning. Three people that was at the original church, Gritney Baptist Church here. Man, I'd been totally abused from religion. Totally. But I thank God that he allowed me to be bit by pastors. Can I tell you that even pastors can be used as a viper? I didn't say they're the devil. No. But I'm saying what they give you can bite. They bite. But some of us don't shake it off. And some of us, under the sound of my voice this morning, we're still holding on to the venomous snake. And the venom's in you. The venom's in you. You let it hang around. You're letting the viper hang. And it don't have to hang. Can I tell you, since being at this church, when the Holy Ghost fell, we received letters in my hand from the president of the Holmes County Baptist Association that belittled me and said we were going to be sued. Kicked us out because this church accepted Jared Jenkins as their pastor. We were kicked out of the Holmes Baptist Association. I'm just telling you real stuff. I threw the letter away. Can I tell you, I got word from the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and it's like, how does he know what's going on in the Baptist Association? I know how, because people spew venom. So I get word back from two other pastors, another pastor, they don't even call me. Well, you're going to be sued for $100,000 for taking that church. It didn't belong to them anyway. This church belonged to the people. And the Holy Ghost fell on the people. The Holy Ghost fell on a man, Brother Buck said today, 35 years he was a Baptist. I preached this gospel one day, never talked about the Holy Ghost. Although being full, you don't have to say anything. People will know. People will know there's a demonstration of the fire of God. That morning, we began to preach, gave an altar call. Nobody came. Sang one song. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Began to sing that song and worship God. The Holy Ghost fell upon Brother Buck. He was in the back. I was right here. Nobody else was up here, me and Carrie. Brother Buck was in the far back, as far as you could go. Sister Regina, I never knew this. She testified this morning after the Holy Ghost fell in that baptistry. She said the moment Brother Buck started praying in the Spirit, She said, I had never experienced tongues or Pentecost. She said, but a wave. She said, a wave rushed past me. And she said, I felt the wind. She said, I started beginning to tremble. She said, I didn't know what it was. She said, I started begin shaking. And she said, I didn't know what it was. Well, I can tell you now, that wave is still pouring. That wave is still pushing. Amen. That wave is still rolling. Amen. Can I tell you that wave was the power of Pentecost in a little Baptist church with about 12 people that didn't know what we were doing. A preacher that didn't know how to preach. A preacher that was scared to death that he was going to get run out of town. But that day they said, we got to have a meeting. Got to have a board meeting. Only thing I knew about them was devils were there. So we went to Dothan that day, and I remember just saying, God, what do you want to say? I didn't know the Bible, but I knew Acts 2 talked about Pentecost. I said, I knew Acts 2 talked about Pentecost. They said, what happened this morning? I just turned to Acts 2, and I said, I guess this is what happened. I guess the Holy Ghost fell. There were tongues as of cloven fire. Amen. People begin to speak in tongues. I begin to dance. And they said, if that's what's going to go on here, then I can't be here. They went and emptied out their classrooms and they all left. Amen. We went from 12 to about 6, about like that. Amen. But can I tell you, from that time on, here we are 9 years later. Amen. Can I tell you now, with the glory of God, what he's doing, I still feel the wave of Pentecost. I thank God when you begin to build a fire, can I tell you that viper's going to come out. Amen. But you and I have the power and the authority in the power of Pentecost to begin to shake the snake right off of our hand. If I was a devil, I'd be after Paul's hands too, because them hands are about to be used to change an island. What should have killed him cured a whole island. What should have killed him became a cure. Can I tell you, what should have killed you is going to become a cure for whole people. That bite should have killed him. They were waiting on him to drop dead. Tanya, what should have killed you is going to become a cure. Can I tell you, only God can do that. What should have killed us becomes a cure for somebody else. That hand was bitten by that viper. Now all of a sudden, the most famous man in the whole island, Publius, says, hey, I need you. Look up what his name means. It means popular. I said, oh, Paul went from being a prisoner to being in the most popular man's house. And the most popular man on the island put him up for 3 days. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, you know what? He was sitting back watching too. I got to know what's really going on. Can I tell you, sometimes you just have to be snake bit. Sometimes you just have to get snake bit, because that poison is about to turn into power. Amen. That poison is about to turn into somebody's power. Can I tell you, whatever you've been through, whatever you walked through, whatever should have killed you, God's about to use to bring a cure to those that are around you. God's going to bring cure to your country, to your community, to this church. Amen. Can I tell you, the most popular man on the island invited Paul to his house. To die, Paul. My dad's about to die, and I seen that hand get bit a while ago. And you didn't die. You didn't die, Paul. So can you come to my house? I'll put you up. You know, we thought you were a murderer. Surely you wouldn't invite a murderer to your house. Can I tell you, they begin to see Christ. And can I tell you, the same hands that was laid on in Acts chapter 19 is now about to be laid on a man's dad that's about to die. Can I tell you, the same hand that was bitten is about to bring power. It's about to bring healing. The same hand that the viper bit is about to give victory to another man that's about to die. Amen. I said, you may have been bit by the viper, but just hold on a little bit longer and shake the snake. Somebody shake the snake. Amen. You may have been bit by the viper, oh, but you hold on a little bit longer, because God's about to use the very place that should have killed you, that should have discouraged you. God's about to use that. Amen. I just need somebody to get a hold of this. Ah.